Jellyheads, and welcome to another episode of Last Call at the Arcade. We're your hosts, Lucas Wilson and
Matt Buckley,
with your guest host,
David Halstead.
We're here to bring you a bi-weekly dose of gaming goodness, and tonight, we bring you another Nostalgia Cast, Dave's Gaming History, Part Dose.
Out of NES. Who knows how many.
SNES.
Chapter 1.
Part 2, Chapter 1, Verse 9. Section
Open
3.
Your Nintendo prayer guide, too.
The book of NES? SNES?
The hymn of Donkey
book of
Kong
Genesis.
Country. Well, I did not have a Genesis ever.
Oh, shame on you.
It means you were the uncool kid.
I was the uncool kid.
Sega,
but that's beside the point.
Sega does what Nintendo don't.
But you know what? Sega did a lot of things that were edgier at the time, but Nintendo did have some really great looking and playing games.
Oh. So they always have.
Yes, I mean, it's Nintendo.
I hear that you were actually playing your original Super Nintendo system.
Yes.
Earlier. 2.5 hours before coming on.
Where'd you hear that, Luke?
I told him. Velociraptor.
Yes, I actually played two of the SNES games I'm going to talk about.
Holy duck monster.
I heard that you have some extensive notes that you've prepared for us.
There are notes, yes.
2-3 pages?
Oh, more than that. But it would be a little boring to sit here and
are these handwritten
just cover
notes?
My notes. Yes. Basically, I didn't want to be looking at Wikipedia all the time, so I just...
You wrote out 10 pages
of Wikipedia.
No, I just wrote out the relevant information.
Then condensed into essay format with Chicago-style footnotes?
There's preparedness, and then there's Dave Halstead preparedness.
Dude, I haven't been this prepared for a podcast since Dead Snow.
Yeah, you had a list.
Wasn't that recent?
You had a list of things, yeah. I think the most prepared I was for the Ewok episode.
Oh, yeah. So we've all had our moments.
I brought my A game.
It's mine!
Anyway, Dave, why don't you share with us what you have?
Well, I'll start out with some basic information. The SNES was released in North America on August 23rd, 1991, at retail price of $199.
That's pretty cheap.
Back then, how much was that?
That'd probably be like a $600 console, wouldn't that?
In 1991?
$500 console?
Yeah, pretty close.
I didn't think about the inflation aspect of that, but yeah.
There's an infographic out there that shows every console adjusted for inflation.
Yeah, they've all been about the same.
More or less, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway.
Because it struck me, it's like, that seems cheap.
Although,
nope. Back then that was pretty expensive.
360 was only like $300, wasn't it?
For like the arcade version, I think.
Oh yeah, the hard drive added.
Yeah.
$100, 20 gigabyte hard drive.
It seems so minuscule now.
It was still minuscule then. It was like,
yeah,
for $100.
And they want you to buy a Wii U with only 32 gigabytes of storage.
How am I supposed to download all my classic games?
Well, classic games only take up a few megabytes each.
I keep hearing that Nintendo's shifting to, like, more hardcore gaming, and they got some, like, real cool games lined up.
Well, the only time they weren't really hardcore gaming was during the Wii console generation, I would say.
They didn't have a ton for GameCube either. I mean, there was a lot
Metroid Prime,
there was a lot of ports over there. But the Wii U has some good games that have finally come out.
I see this preview for a Link game where it's just Link and just a sea of enemies.
Oh, Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah,
that looks awesome.
That does look great. It reminds me of a game, an old arcade game called Gauntlet. Do you know about that?
RPG.
Well, it was an arcade game that was sort of had the bare minimum of... it wasn't an RPG. It was just a hack and slash with a fantasy element, you know? You could be a barbarian, a wizard, or an archer. I think was an elf. And it was just massive amounts of... It was a top-down view. Like, think of, like, Pac-Man, only far more extreme. Like, top-down view, you're this little guy... You're hacking and slashing through just seas of enemies.
That's what the Dynasty Warriors series is all about, and that's what they're trying to do with Hyrule Warriors.
Yes.
Bring that type of frenetic gameplay.
It's actually, I was at an arcade yesterday. But there was, they had Super Mario Kart.
Oh,
the
yes.
New one,
yeah.
But ported for an arcade machine. So it wasn't very good. It was a little clunky. The processor could not handle like anything on the screen.
Well,
like,
major Nintendo franchises have been like a staple of Japanese arcades for a while.
Yeah.
You don't really see them in American arcades so much,
yeah,
though.
It was kind of like, oh, yeah, Mario Kart. I was like, it's the new one, too. That's really good. But it says like Mario Kart Arcade Edition or something like that.
Like Arcade GP or whatever.
Yeah, Arcade GP as opposed to whatever the new one, the Wii.
Eight.
It's the one on the Wii U is pretty good. I played that. Kevin has it. Anyway,
I've only played the demo at GameStop, but I liked it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's gotten good reviews.
Yeah. Oh, it didn't Mario? No, the first Mario Kart came out on SNES.
It did.
Did you ever play it, Dave?
Yes.
Is this it's gonna be
actually,
a segue?
Actually, want to know something funny? I never played any of the Mario games on SNES.
Really?
Yeah.
Mario World was on. That was a pretty
Super Mario World. Yeah.
Super Mario World. Right. Was a pretty critically acclaimed game, and then Yoshi's Island.
What about A Link to the Past?
I have history with the Zelda games.
Oh, yeah, you remember him?
So
like
no
them.
Mario and no Link to the Past? What is this nope. episode even going to be
well,
about?
He's like twice already talked about how...
I thought that was
hates,
just Ocarina and of Time
Zelda
and later.
He hates Zelda games because he had a friend who abandoned him for those games.
Wasn't that for Ocarina of Time, though?
No, that was the first Zelda game on NES.
Oh, okay.
To be fair, if you're a fan of Link, I've never given them a chance.
I've only ever really played one.
That's it?
What am I talking about?
Zelda?
Link's Awakening.
Ah.
I played that pretty far, and then I played a decent chunk of the Wii one with all the shadow
Twilight
creatures.
Princess?
Yeah, when Kevin had it. Like, I was visiting one day, and I just played it.
I'm sure they're fine games.
They're fun.
I enjoy them. Some of my favorite games of all time.
What about Dave's yep. beard?
That's up there, but not quite cream of the crop.
You disappoint me, Matt. Shall I go on?
Yeah.
Dave's
well,
got the notebook in hand.
16-bit graphics, 8-channel stereo audio. I just want to get like the basic information out of the way. For 16-bit graphics, there was like a wide range of quality.
Yeah, you had like
for the system.
Yeah, you had, watching all the episodes of Angry Video Game Nerd, the quality for the NES and SNES just ranged all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some companies did a really good job. Others just phoned it in. They just did not care.
Yeah, they really did.
It's like, you'll use three colors.
Well, this isn't exactly my area of expertise, but with the last two or three console generations, later on in the generation, the games looked better as they, like, the developers learned the architecture
yeah.
of the system more.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the same thing with the Super NES?
Not really. I mean, there were some really great-looking games to begin with, but... it was just the developers.
Yeah, especially third-party
ones.
What
effort they would make to put into these games.
The ones that would make what do you call it?
They unlicensed?
Unlicensed games when Nintendo would not slap their logo on the cartridge, and you would need, like, a special cartridge to play it.
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, these weird cartridges that had, like, a slot on top that would let you play a game through.
The Genesis had a couple games like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sonic and Knuckles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's all coming back to you.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Sorry, Dave. Only us Sega
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, only us Sega kids. No,
we get that reference.
About, yeah.
So neither of you played SNES back
in
the day.
I had friends that had it, so I would play
okay.
theirs, which is mostly the case with pretty much every Nintendo system ever until the GameCube. We had a Nintendo Entertainment System, but then after that until GameCube, we never had.
Do you remember what games you played?
Yes. Most memorable would be Stealth. My father loved playing that game, and I can still this theme song like. We had a little we had the Duck Hunt Mario Brothers combo. I had Mario Brothers.
That was NES.
Super Mario Brothers 2. Super mm-hmm. Mario Brothers 3.
Super Mario All World,
NES.
That was for Super NES, right?
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I played that at a friend's house. I had this a Bubble Bobble. I played with that with my mom all the time. And we had a Fester's Quest, which scared the crap out of me.
Which seems silly now.
Yeah, because yeah. I found out it's like an unplayable game. It was like a really terrible tie-in. And a... we had this kind of Bomberman type of game, or Dig type of, I can't remember what it was, but it was similar to that. And then we had a Sesame Street game that taught you how to, like, read and do math and stuff.
Educational.
But there was something about that was actually kind of creepy, and I can't quite place it. Oddly enough, we didn't own many Sega games. We had, like, three, and then we just rented them all the time.
Mm.
Like a Star Wars one.
Yeah. Rentals was a big part of, you know, my early gaming history.
Yeah, I remember Blockbuster... And, like, Price Chopper had, like, a rental section
Price
for a
Chopper
while.
Had the sketchiest little weird...
Price Chopper had some legit games, though.
We rented,
their game selection was good.
When we moved here, I rented one game from there once. I didn't. It was like more like my brother or my dad went and got one there once.
Uh-huh.
It was a Star Trek game, and then we never returned it.
I remember back, I think it was the mid-90s, a few, like, grocery store rental sections were, like, closing down. So my parents took me, and they were, like, selling off, like, all their inventory for mad cheap. I actually got some really good deals on, like, Genesis games and stuff.
Nice.
So that was a pretty fond memory.
Yeah, when those video stores started closing down, it was just, like, a raiding party.
Pillaging, pretty much.
Yeah. It's funny, I never had a Blockbusters around me, so my main rental source was the Price Chopper.
I thought it was that other guy.
At first. Later, there was a Video King, and then a Red's Video. But
yeah,
my
Red's
first primary source for getting video games was when we went to the grocery store. Oddly enough, I didn't even really remember that until you guys said it.
It's kind of weird to think about it now, like a grocery store having
a
pretty extensive video game.
There's a floral
center
where that used to be, and then I'm thinking to myself, like, where was the flowers before?
Well, the floral section was right next to the
rentals.
It wasn't, the same thing.
Man, it's so long ago.
All right, well, I'm just going to quickly finish up.
Go on.
The basic.
Finish up your 10 pages or so?
Well, the basic general info on the SNES. The launch titles were F-Zero, Gradius 3, Pilot Wings, Sim City, and Super Mario World.
Oh, you had Sim City, the original one?
Yeah.
Nice.
I didn't have it.
Wait.
These are the launch titles.
Oh, you're just giving us... Okay, wow, Sim City was a launch title? It's that old?
Yes, 1991.
Wow, doesn't seem like... I remember playing the original Sim City on PC back in like the mid-90s, I think.
I played Simtown. Version of
Yo, I had a game out. Called Sim Isle. It was like an island. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Anyway, sorry, Dave. You're bringing up our own memories.
This is a nostalgia cast.
That's
so
what I want to do.
Yeah,
actually.
He's trying to invoke our gaming memories.
And whenever there's a lull, I'll just jump in with something else.
Twist it.
Like, I found this was very interesting. The last game they ever made for the SNES was Kirby's Dream Land 3, and that was released in 1999.
Whoa. 99?
Wow.
That was a wide release, too?
Jeez. That's when...
That was like the end of the N64 era.
Yeah. Yes! That's it.
Yeah!
Because 2000 is when the Xbox came out, right?
That was 2001. 2000 is when the PS2 came
PS2,
out.
PS2, yeah. Wow. That's a long cycle. Jeez.
Majora's Mask came out in 1999.
Oh, then again, the PlayStation 2 had a long life. I kept making games for that for a long time.
Well, the flagship titles stopped within a year after the PS3 came out, but...
But I was still selling systems until just the end.
Yeah, and they
of
were
this.
Coming out with the major sports franchises for a while after the new consoles launched. But wow, that's heavy duty.
I don't know if it was like a wide release or was like only came out in Japan or anything. I just know that was the last game they made for it.
It's a good chance it was probably in Japan. They seem to hold on to this a lot longer.
Now, the weird thing is, the best I can figure it is that I didn't get a Super Nintendo until Christmas of 1995.
Hmm.
And it came packaged with Donkey Kong Country, which came out in 94.
Oh, I know how much you like the Donkey Kong.
I think I played that. Didn't they re-release that for Game Boy?
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, I did. I played some of that. My brother had it.
That was like my game, you know. That was the first game I played, and I played the hell out of it.
Yeah, didn't you just recently play the hell out of the Wii version?
Oh, yes. The Donkey Kong Country Returns. God, I played.
They just came
out
with a sequel for.
I know, but it's for the Wii U, and I don't have that. And it's like, ah, because I love those Donkey Kong Country games.
They're good games.
I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like simple mechanics, big, lots of different stuff to do, lots of secrets to find, and like games with simple mechanics, but they're hard to master, you know?
Makes me think of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Talk about simple mechanics.
Jump and run.
It's kind of funny. I remember when I first got the system, I hooked it up in the upstairs living room. We had a split level, you know, so you walked in the door, you could go upstairs or downstairs. There was no ground floor.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of those around.
So I first had it upstairs.
Like
but
a
then
raised
it was
ranch?
Like, yeah. Yes, exactly. A raised ranch.
Kind of a weird design.
Yeah.
It seems more inconvenient than...
Right.
You know. It is. It was.
Like you have half a basement.
Yeah, I never understood it. Go on, Dave.
I don't know. I didn't know no different.
We won't conjecture about architecture anymore.
Well, pretty soon I had to move it downstairs, or got to move it downstairs, you could say, because I was playing it all the time.
Wasn't there like a, you were like in a back room once that had just all these boxes?
Yes. It was, the goal was to get the back room in the basement that was past the washer and dryer. There's a little side back room that had previously been used for storage or older siblings' bedrooms, you know. And it was really out of the way, and it was just, there was like the laundry room, and then there was this little space, and you could either go into this room or go into the garage.
And you were like, I want that tiny room.
Yeah, because in a sense, it was the furthest away space in the house, you know?
Uh-huh.
Which really came in handy when I got into playing horror games later.
Yeah, didn't you say you like were sick one day and just played Resident Evil?
Oh, I want to do nonstop. A great nostalgia cast on that, because yeah, it was raining, I was homesick from school, so it's like, I think like no one was home because I was a teenager by then, so, and I just played Resident Evil 2 all the way through.
That sounds awesome.
Well, like
in this room, in this back room that was half a storage room, so there are boxes in the back behind me, and I'm sitting on a couch that's in the middle of the room. Actually, it's like in the front two-thirds of the room, right? And there's nothing in the room except the couch, the TV with the video game system set up, and storage.
Something about those, like, tucked away, kind of comfy places.
Yes!
Always something about that with gaming. Like,
when I put a like futon the, back there, it was perfect.
A basement, you know, that's where we gamed for the longest time.
Right.
When we moved here, all my friends had like a basement room, essentially, that it all, yeah, something about that made it kind of feel.
I've got to say, though, as a quick aside, I actually bought the original Resident Evil a couple years ago because I wanted to see what it was all about. I got it from a vintage gaming shop, and it was borderline unplayable.
Really?
With like the mechanics, yeah, and like everything, like now that games have evolved to the point where they're at now, going back and trying to play something like that is almost impossible.
I experienced the same thing. However, the remade versions are pretty cool.
Oh, I'll have to check those out.
Yeah, they like they're doing a new one for the current generation. They did it back for GameCube. They remade Resident Evil, and now they're remaking that remake for the current generation. And they didn't just remake it; they added a lot of like new content to it, expanded on it, and apparently there will be some new content for the upcoming remake.
What are they calling the new one?
I don't know.
The Davening
remake redone. Resident Evil. And yeah, speaking of PlayStation, I would get a PlayStation for Christmas of 1997. So I really had this 2-year period where I was primarily the Super Nintendo. And it's funny because it seems so much longer in my mind, but that's because you're a kid and time works differently.
Yeah, yeah. Technically, this past console generation was the longest one that's ever happened, but it feels so much shorter than the previous generation.
Yeah, my time with the N64 seems like a long time, but it was only like 3 years.
But we
I
also
think.
Like spent so much time playing video games more than we were kids, and I've barely touched any current gen games besides on my PC.
Yeah, the amount of time, god, to have that time back, what I could do with it now.
Yeah, like if you could waste your time and not worry about your wasting time because you have plenty to go. Now you're just like, I gotta do something with my life.
What a turn of events.
Well, you want to get back to Donkey Kong Country?
Yeah, Donkey Kong us, man.
It was made by Rare Studios, which made some of the best looking games for...
What are some of the other games they made?
The SNES. Donkey Kong Country 2 and 3, they made a...
They made a crap ton of games for the N64.
Yeah?
Yes.
They were all really good.
So they're on the top company.
They made Perfect Dark, GoldenEye...
Ooh.
Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, okay, so... All right,
Donkey
so
Kong 64.
Yeah, wasn't sure if...
Jet Force Gemini.
That sounds familiar. What is that?
It's like a sci-fi third-person shooter.
They also made Killer Instinct.
That's right.
Is that the one? No, that was...
And Battletoads.
Yes, and Battletoads. God, Battletoads.
I just brought you back, didn't I, Dave?
It's in my notes, trust me.
Unbeatable game.
Yeah. I watched a Twitch stream of a guy trying to like do a speed run on Battletoads, and it was ridiculous.
Well, how some people can do that.
Yeah, like the amount of coordination you need.
Oh, man. I was playing just for an hour and a half before we met here, and my thumbs are still sore.
Yeah, those controllers aren't that comfortable.
No. No, they are not. We have come a long way as far as controllers, and it also seemed like there was a bit of a response time issue.
Yeah.
When I was playing.
The latency. You know?
And also playing a first-person shooter without the deep... What do you call it? I'm the little rotating part of the controller. The little rotating knob.
The analog stick?
Yeah, the analog stick. Yeah, you had to use the D-pad, I guess they call it.
The N64 was the first console with one, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, trying to use the arrow system to move around in a three-dimensional space.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But one of the really interesting things about Rare Studios and all their games is that they were 2D, but they looked sculpted. They looked three-dimensional the way they did them.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And the backgrounds, they had multi-layered backgrounds that would move at different speeds as your character. You know what I mean?
So yep. Their environments really popped, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they
look three-dimensional.
So, parallax scrolling?
Yes. But one of the interesting things is that Donkey Kong Country introduced me to was save files.
Hmm.
That was the first game I played where you could save your progress.
Oh.
I remember the first game I played that had a save file system, and it was like
mind-blowing. It changed everything.
Yeah. It's like, wait, I can play, get to a point, and then go back to it later?
Oh my
Such
god.
A time saver.
I don't have to play through the whole game in one sitting.
Yeah, you used to
no,
have to like
don't.
Leave your console
Not
on
anymore.
And turn your TV off.
Aye.
If you were going to go someplace.
I never got allowed to do that. Maybe like three times. I was like, please, I'll come to eat dinner and then...
Oh, yeah. There's so many times. Pausing games for dinner. Jeez. Oh, that, yeah.
Turn off that video game. You ever think we'll turn into old people who are like, we don't understand this technology?
I've heard from some...
I'd like to think that I would have the basic ability to figure out these things.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I still discover stuff on my phone that... Like,
yeah, I hope I can be like my grandfather and be very technologically literate.
You gotta stay active or you fall behind.
I think it's kind of almost necessary nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It's Donkey Kong Country. I don't think we're gonna get past this game. This episode.
You got 10
we're
minutes.
We have to do a part two on this.
Yeah. How much more do you have?
History part two, part two?
It's like we've only gone through about a half page of Dave's notes.
Yeah, I'm only on the second page.
Oh, no. All right, go, Dave. Go, 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 go. Just rattle off games that you love and you lick to.
It's not that simple.
All right. I'm moving on. So, Donkey Kong Country 2. Diddy's Conquest. See what they did there?
Oh, it's a pun.
It's a pun. Title puns. Man. Introduce the character called Dixie Kong. Are you aware of this character?
Yes.
Isn't that the
She's got the pigtails.
Hair? Yeah, it's the girl counterpart to Diddy, right?
Yeah, actually in the game, the original game, it says it's Diddy Kong's girlfriend.
Pretty young to have a girlfriend there. Like a kid,
isn't
Wasn't
it? Diddy Kong a monkey, not an ape?
Yeah, oh yeah, he's like a monkey, yeah.
So he's like fully matured and everything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. But I remember watching the TV show and he was like a little kid.
Yeah, he had like a high-pitched voice and everything.
Dave doesn't remember the TV show.
I remember the TV show.
Wasn't it like a CGI thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
And there was...
Where they had sing-along?
I hated the sing-along. I hated that.
And they had the cast of characters. They had Cranky Kong who would...
Cranky Kong is playable in the new Donkey Kong game.
That is awesome!
He has like a... He uses his cane as like a pogo stick, basically.
Oh my god!
Wasn't he playable in that GameCube game? Not Game Boy.
I don't think so.
I remember thought I
not Cranky Kong. Cranky Kong was always like the guy you just talked to,
bouncing around on the stick. Viewers, correct
that.
Me. Tell me what I'm thinking about.
I think you might be thinking about the new game.
No, I've never played the new game. I didn't even know there was
what
a new one.
What about maybe Donkey Kong 64?
I don't think you can play as Cranky Kong in that game.
Maybe you
I don't
can,
know.
Matt.
You never even played it.
Well, you've never eaten a beetle, so there.
The bug or the band?
Oh, what?
The day we find out Lucas was a cannibal. Where are those English meals?
Nice English breakfast.
And one of the cool things about the Donkey Kong 1 and 2, but it was really a lot cooler in 2, was that your enemies were pirate alligators.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was King K. Rool in those games?
Yes, these were the King K. Rool games. And for some reason... It was like Donkey Kong Country 2 seemed a bit darker. It was one of those things where it's like the sequel is a bit darker. I mean, it was still lighthearted fun, but the villains were a little bit scarier. You would have a giant ant or this one. It just looked like a normal barrel, but if you walked up to it, this guy popped out of it. And just these games, they did so much in terms of level design and just different finding little secrets in the game, which, of course, it's all put that you always feel a little special when you're collecting all these little side things, and there's a little area that's like, oh, I found something, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's the same for any platforming game, really.
Or any game.
Any game now, right? There's tons of secrets and stuff.
Although, but I feel like in certain games, the collectible stuff is, it's not really worth going after. It doesn't really.
Right.
Like there has to be like a little bit.
Achievement hunters. Used to be pretty big on completing, like having that huge gamer score.
Back in my early days with the 360.
So much that you wouldn't download Halo Waypoint because it had a gamer zero score of zero.
I didn't want a zero to show up on my gamer card. It would have affected my completion percentage.
Wow. I don't know what to. But to me, it's not the fact that there are, like, things to collect, but it's, like, the creative way to get to them.
Uh-huh.
And that's where Donkey Kong Country really excelled. Back in the day, and with the recent game for the Wii, it really excels at just the creativity of how to get to the secret.
Well, that heightens the sense of reward, too, because you actually feel a sense of accomplishment when you've gotten it.
Right. Now, I actually never really played DK3. Or DKC3. I rented it once and I just didn't find it as fun.
You know what I always wondered? What gave Nintendo the idea to turn Donkey Kong from like a villain to like a platforming hero?
Good question.
I think Rare Studios had a lot to do with that.
So they basically rebooted the character.
They pitched that idea. It's like, why don't we take the monkey?
Yeah.
From the first Mario game ever. Actually, that's technically a Donkey Kong game. That was the name.
It was called Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the game was called Donkey Kong, but he was the villain. You had to defeat Donkey Kong. And there was a Mario Brothers game. It was really simple. It was like an arcade thing where there's one stage and you had to get the turtles.
There's actually a game, I think, where Mario was like the villain. Could flip it around.
Yes, sort of.
One of the very earliest ones.
I like, too, how this is kind of a minor thing, but in Donkey Kong Country, barrels play a big role, and barrels were a prominent thing in the first Donkey Kong game, so they kind of carried that over.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
You know, Rare also made Killer Instinct, which we talked about before, and that was basically, there was a series of games that started ripping off Mortal Kombat, and this was one of them.
Well, I played the new Killer Instinct for Xbox One.
Right.
And it amazes me how close some of the stuff is to Street Fighter. Like the main character in Killer Instinct. Oh my god, I forget his name. What's his name, Dave? The guy who's just like Ken from Street Fighter, basically.
Your default guy. Isn't this Isn't this the game that you pay for the new players, the fighters, I think?
Well, you basically have a few different options for how you want to pay for it. You can buy each fighter individually, or you can buy like a season at a time, which includes like a batch of fighters and stuff.
They didn't want to just give you a complete game.
I mean, you can buy everything. You can buy both seasons and just unlock everything that way.
Like $100.
It's like 40.
Oh.
Because each season is 20, and there's two seasons.
Cheaper than any. Okay. Anyway, go on, Matt.
Jago. So Jago.
Jago. Yeah.
Basically has like a Hadouken type ability, like he can shoot those little energy balls. And his moveset, like in terms of like the uppercuts and like just his martial arts style and everything, is very similar to Ken from Street Fighter. It's almost exactly the same.
But they also have the dark fantasy element and the special attacks and the fatalities that are more in line with Mortal Kombat than they are with Street Fighter. So it's
kind of between the two
pieces of both.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried playing it again recently, and it's pretty tough. It's like, wasn't the worst fighter, but actually, one of the harder fighters that was more based in the Street Fighter-like stuff was the TMNT Tournament Fighter with the Ninja Turtles characters, where there was like a different one for Sega and a different one for Super Nintendo. Of course, the Super Nintendo one was way better, but they were completely different games. But that was hard, like just to play game mechanics, and like I said, the controller not as comfortable, and the response time seemed to lag, which really messes you up in these fast-paced fighting games. But of all the fighting games they had, it definitely wasn't the best, but it's the one I enjoyed the most. Primal Rage. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Maybe.
Was that obscure?
Is that the one where you're a monster and you destroy stuff?
You're a giant... It's a giant monster fighting game.
Oh, okay.
Where you're
I think
like
I know what
dinosaurs fighting in this post-apocalyptic...
Didn't they look like claymation-like?
Yes, they were. They were done in the same method that they made Goro for Mortal Kombat, which was a stop motion. And...
Okay.
So you had these giant dinosaurs, and you know how I feel about Godzilla and giant dinosaurs and monsters. But this game was also like had the really bloody aspect of Mortal Kombat and fatalities, like ripping out the other guy's heart. Your health bar was actually a beating heart that would beat faster and faster, and when you defeated the enemy, the heart would explode. This was a lot of gore and gross out. There was a character named Chaos. He was a giant monkey. He had a fart cloud attack. He would basically fart out a cloud and it would mess up. It would like float across the screen.
There was a character in...
Get the other character?
Tekken 2 for the PlayStation. This little dinosaur that had a fart attack too. Well,
can't Wario use farts in Super Smash Bros. Brawl?
Maybe. He might. Yeah.
I think so.
I think you're right, yeah. But then his fatality was... he had acid urine, and he just urinated on the other character and melted them away.
Ugh, wow.
That was like a factor of 90s games. It was just like the edgininess, the over-the-top qualities,
This game was ahead of its time.
Often, the versions of games on the SNES didn't have as much blood and gore as the versions that were on the Sega Genesis.
Right, this game was out for both, and the Sega Genesis was probably a little better in this case.
Did they ever make any sequels?
Some may have been edited. There was a sequel that went into the works, but was never released.
It happens.
But what's interesting is I actually had action figures of two dinosaurs.
You still have them?
No, I don't believe I had them anymore, but one was a Diablo, which was this red fire-breathing T-Rex, and the other one was Vertigo, which was like a raptor with a cobra head, and it was they made it up, kind of. And that thing would like do a thing where it would like spin into non-existence and then reappear behind the character, you know, it was about like illusions and stuff. The toy wouldn't do this, but the character in the game did. One of the cool things was that in Primal Rage, all the dinosaur characters were worshipped as gods by like the remaining post-apocalyptic Earth people, and you would have little people with your character's colors standing on the ground and like cheering you on, little people running back and forth, and you could knock them around. You could actually like play
that's pretty
like
cool.
Knock like volley them back and forth. A little bit of stuff that I would later come to appreciate in Rampage.
Those were some fun games.
Well, I had a lot more I was going to talk about. Do we want to put a pin in it here and come back next time?
There can be a chapter two.
Yeah.
Or chapter three.
I would rather do a chapter two than cut off a lot of stuff.
I feel like that would do all these exciting games you need to talk about Injustice.
That's fine. It's not like I've only titled it Dave's Gaming History Part 2.
Right.
I can still name it Part 3 and pick off where we left off.
Cool. All right.
All right. Cool.
So we'll put a pin in it there. I look forward to coming back and continuing. In the meantime, I will be playing much more any Super Nintendo.
It's great that you still have that.
I know, which I want to talk about. Yeah. The whole repurchase. That's one of the main points when we do come back to this, is that I want to talk about nostalgia, where you go back and you repurchase an old system. Have you ever done that?
I always hold on to all my stuff, so... The only
Jason.
Instance I...
Well, if you're holding on to it, then in that case, I say dust it off and, you know...
Yeah, I try to keep it in good condition, because I feel like if one of my old systems did break, I would want to buy a replacement.
Jason, who was just on Flapdoodle Forum a couple episodes ago, he recently bought one of those like 4-in-1 video game systems.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they sell some of those at Replay.
I've seen them at Target. I saw the Sega Genesis and the NES ones at Target.
Yeah, I only have 9 games from my Super Nintendo right now that I've repurchased, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I want to expand. Though. I haven't been able to devote resources to this effort as yet.
Well, Jellyheads, Thanks for listening to this episode of Last Corner of the Arcane. We've been your host, Lucas Wilson, and
Matt Buckley,
with your guest host,
David Halstead.
If you enjoyed this episode, may I suggest you go to our website at cycledjellyfish.com to find this and other podcasts. You can also listen to us on iTunes and in the podcast app Stitcher. Please rate and review. It really does help out the show. If you're a fan, you know what? Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Jellycast. If you have any thoughts, words, comments, questions, maybe a game you want us to review, send them our way at email at cycledjellyfish.com or leave it in the comments. And a fun one, folks.
Keep it psycho.
Bye.
What are you about?
I had a Genesis. I'm pretty sure I said that on the last.
You.
But Braille.